Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with a new season of Here's the Thing with Matt Danieluk. I am really looking forward to talking shop with you guys, going into some NFL, NBA seasons right around the corner. We're in the midst of the fantasy baseball playoffs right now. A lot of exciting things happening. I'm stoked to be back, and now LaValley can stop harassing me about posting an episode of the podcast. Here we go. Here's the thing. Personal branding and my money, my brand mentality is destroying professional sports. And as much as I am already exhausted of the Antonio Brown commentary, as little as I wish to talk about Antonio Brown in any capacity anymore, he is a prime example of why this is a problem with today's professional athletes and why it takes away from the game that we, the viewers, pay to see and follow. I can't begin to express to you how passionate I am about this topic specifically. And I'm going to dive in and tell you why, aside from the fact that Antonio Brown is a bum, why, if we don't fix this thing, it's going to destroy sports. Maddie's back. And player branding has reached a new level at the professional level of sports, okay? And I mean, it seeps into college too, but there's so many NCAA restrictions on the ability to monetize one's self that it hasn't taken over yet. But at some point, the players, the collegiate athletes, are going to win that battle, and at some point, it's going to seep into college sports as well. For now, it's safe. But in professional sports, everyone is their own brand. And with social media, with Twitter especially, Instagram especially, every person on the planet with access to basically a camera phone and the internet can choose to create their own personality on social media. Now, professional athletes, football players especially, and I mean, you can look at greats like Joe Namath, guys who were always in the media, and I'm talking about all-time great personalities in sports. Muhammad Ali, always in the media. Now that's 100-fold, because all these guys have to do is have somebody film a workout video or fucking Taco Tuesday with their family, and all of a sudden, it's a brand. It's a part of their brand. That is a part of LeBron James' brand. He's not posting Taco Tuesday and trying to trademark that bullshit because it's a sensible thing to do, or because it's a normal thing to do, or because it's a savvy business move. In some respects, maybe it is, but he's doing it because it's a part of the character that he has created to show the world through his own social media, through the things he chooses to say and not to say to reporters, through things that he does with his site, The Undefeated, through things that he does with his production company, through the way that he markets his shoes. You don't know LeBron James. You don't know the first thing about LeBron James aside from what he shows us on the basketball court, where he cannot hide. LeBron is who he is. His meltdown against the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, that is LeBron James. Raw, uncensored, unfiltered, no scripted Taco Tuesday Instagram bullshit. Just LeBron in his own head, falling apart in the most critical moments of an NBA championship. Just like it was him who lost the David and Goliath fight against the Warriors in that last finals before he left Cleveland. But I mean, that was LeBron at his finest. LeBron destroyed everyone in that series. He couldn't be stopped. Couldn't be stopped. So we know LeBron the basketball player, but we don't know anything about LeBron James the person. We do, however, know about LeBron James the brand. LeBron James the character. And this idea, and LeBron's got a lot to do with it, but I mean, it goes back to, look, MJ and those guys wanted to start businesses. Magic wanted to start a business. It wasn't about their media presence. It was about investing and getting a marketable product and selling that product and making money so that they could do other things in business. Now the business is in the character you create for the media. And this idea that every fucking rookie that walks into the league needs to start thinking about creating their own brand. And I mean, I'm following this in real time. Coby White of the Chicago Bulls. I follow him on Instagram. I started following him on draft night because I wanted him to be a Bull. And I still do. I think he's going to be an excellent young point guard. But from the rip, Coby White is trying to brand himself. Every Instagram post has branding in it, has SEO features in it. For those of you who aren't familiar, search engine optimization. The idea is to target more viewers, to grow your brand, to have more people listening to what you say. And some players do this successfully without it being a distraction. Some players turn it into a post career, a second career, if you will, because they go from active social media darling player to in a booth announcing games or on a podcast or what have you. And that's great. And these guys should absolutely have those opportunities in business. But the shamelessness of it, the shamelessness of Antonio Brown with the Steelers one crucial win away from a potential playoff bid last season, sitting on the bench because he only cares about himself, about his brand, about him being appreciated in the context of a 53-man football team. And that's not counting all of the coaching staff, all of the training staff, all of the front office people, the scouts, the GM, the assistant GM, the ownership, the fucking parking lot guys, who probably stand to get some overtime if the Steelers get a playoff game. All the people who invest their time and money and efforts and interest, the fans included, into the game. Antonio Brown considered absolutely none of those things when he sat down week 17 in a game that the Steelers needed to win. Antonio Brown did not care about the viewer, about his teammates, about his coaches who invested time in him, who bend the rules for him because he's such a particular guy, but he's a hard damn worker, so you know what? We're going to let AB do his thing. Except that then he turns around and goes to the media and forces his way out of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loses an all-time great receiver for no reason other than that his ego's too big to fit through the locker room door. So then the Oakland Raiders give up a third and a sixth-round draft pick for this guy. Which, by the way, if he stays in Oakland for the next 5 years, is great value. If he goes in there, shuts his mouth, and catches, you know, 90 passes for 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns, it's worth it. But when Antonio Brown gets into a cryo chamber without shoes on and gets frostbite on his feet, and doesn't want to show up for work after he gets one of the largest guaranteed receiver contracts, $30 million. Guy got $30 million in his hand to walk in the door in Oakland. Doesn't want to show up for work. And now, your ego's so big that you got to have a special helmet to fit your ego inside of it. And you're going to go to war with the NFL over the helmet. I'm sorry, Antonio Brown. Do you have a team of scientists doing research on brain injuries and impact of hits in football games and what helmets are safest and why? Probably not. The league does. That's the reason you can't use your old-ass helmet. Shut up, take your new helmet, and go to work. But no. Antonio Brown is too concerned with his brand. No, this is the helmet Antonio Brown wears. Can nobody tell me what helmet I'm going to wear? I'm Antonio Brown. Dude's missing practice time with his team. Then after all of that, all the bullshit that finally got Antonio Brown on the field, that finally got him in a position to get ready for the season with his team, Antonio Brown starts an altercation at practice with the general manager of the team that traded the 3rd and 6th round picks to get him there and paid him the money. To the point where he's so out of his mind, insane, that the Oakland Raiders, after trading 3rd and 6th round draft pick for him and paying him, cut him loose for conduct detrimental to the team. But before that, they were going to start him week 1 because he's fucking Antonio Brown. I don't want to talk about the civil suit against Antonio Brown because I don't think it's relevant to this particular subject. And because, frankly, who the fuck knows what happened. Now AB is a Patriot. And we'll see whether or not he learns to behave himself, whether or not he falls in line behind Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We'll see. But the point of this rant is that Antonio Brown is not concerned with football. Antonio Brown is not concerned with being a part of a team. Antonio Brown is not concerned with being a productive member of his community. The football, the Steelers community, the Raiders community. Antonio Brown cares about one thing and one thing only, and that is his money and his brand. And that is ruining sports. It is ruining sports. None of that shit should ever happen. None of that should ever happen. Every dude who walks into the league should not need to start branding themselves. They should be focused on what their identity is as a part of a team. Maybe if these guys started investing a little bit more in the growth of the team around them, we wouldn't have to see players abandon ship every other season and go to a new city. Why is it? What are we doing to our young athletes that by the time they reach college age, they're already in the mindset of, I have to brand myself. I have to get mine. I got to be worried about me. Look, man, I think you should be rationally self-interested. I think you should take the best opportunity for you. Absolutely. But at some point, the best opportunity for you involves the best opportunities for those around you in a situation. It's having a little tact and a little class and a little respect for both your peers and the people that follow you year-round and worship you like gods. The fans. These guys are only worried about themselves. I coach youth sports. We teach team is family. Team is family. My favorite reference from any sports writing of all time is in Phil Jackson's book, Sacred Hoops. And there, Phil talks about how he quotes Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book to the young Bulls team, and that becomes his philosophy and their philosophy. And the quote is this: "Now this is the law of the jungle, as old and as true as the sky. And the wolf that keeps it may prosper, and the wolf that breaks it must die. Like the creeper that girdles the tree trunk, the law runneth forward and back. The strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack." Today's athletes do not care about the pack. And as a result, they do not have the strength of a unified team, of a family, of guys who know each other, who care about each other, who have invested years into playing together. Antonio Brown is another example of a lone wolf defying the laws of the jungle. And as Kipling says, the wolf that breaks it must die. At some point, before he has athletically fallen off a cliff, Antonio Brown is going to TO himself out of an opportunity to win a championship. That's my prediction. And if we, at the youth level and at the high school level and at the college level, don't do something to fix this mentality, the AAU mentality, the me, my team, my brand, my money mentality, sports is going to change forever, and it's not going to be for the good. Don't sit here and tell me that if the Oklahoma City Thunder had had an opportunity to stay together, don't even sit here and tell me that if Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't such a freaking self-centered shit show, that he wouldn't be a great option to grow with a young quarterback in Daniel Jones. Let's say Daniel Jones steps in for Eli this year and he's great. Let's say he looks like Baker. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying, hypothetically speaking, let's say that happens. Wouldn't you want the talent of Odell Beckham Jr. for a guy like that? Well, obviously you would, because the Cleveland Browns traded for him. There's no way that Baker and OBJ and Jarvis Landry and these guys stay together for 5 years even. There's no way, because that doesn't happen anymore, because these guys are only worried about themselves. My brand, my money. Sports fans' problem.
I apologize for how long that rant was, guys. This week on the first episode of season 2 of Here's the Thing, we're going to roll out a new segment, Maddie's Quick Hits, where I am going to give you a couple of quick topical things that are on my mind in the sports world, in media, maybe some politics every once in a while when the landscape gets dry, but that's not going to happen for a bit with the pennant races all happening in baseball and football kicking off and basketball season's right around the corner. So this week's quick hits, I'm going to hit you with three things. Thing number one, LaValle and I are facing off in the first round of fantasy baseball playoffs in the League of Geeks, and it is way too close for comfort. Way too close for comfort. So everybody pray that Max Kepler and Miguel Sano stop sitting on the bench with random injuries, and that Justin Verlander throws a complete game shutout against Oakland. Next up, quick hit number two. I just want to say, we're having all these conversations about the Patriots offense, specifically as it pertains to Antonio Brown, in addition to their dismantling of the Steelers this past weekend. But I think it's fair to say that if you've watched football attentively for the last 20 years or somewhere in that range, this Patriots defense is among the best that they have ever had, and it's freaking scary. And I don't want to spend the whole year talking about the New England Patriots, but they just keep making it so damn hard not to. Last quick hit, and then we're going to wrap it. Thank you for hanging in there. I looked and I ranted for 16 minutes about Antonio Brown and branding today. Baseball's fun again, guys. I set up this fantasy league because I hadn't paid attention to baseball in a decade, and I just didn't care anymore, and it kind of sucked because I used to like it. I used to really enjoy baseball. And I got back into it and just happened to coincide with Major League Baseball tightening the laces and way more home runs happening this year. Imagine that. More offense equals more fun. There are still games that are slow and brutal, but baseball as a whole is being marketed better. They have better announcing than they ever have before. The players are more accessible. I love the stuff they did in the preseason with miking up the guys that were on the field. I think they should do that in regular season. Because, like, I'm sorry, you're playing 162 games or whatever ridiculous number it is. Nobody cares about Oakland-Cincinnati on a Tuesday night. But if you throw a couple of microphones on some dudes, and all of a sudden, Nick Senzel or whoever is wearing a freaking mic, and you can hear him out in the field talking, and it's part of the game audio, and it's part of the commentary by the network, then you have an opportunity to access these players in a way that you can access the NBA, that you can access the NFL, and you've never been able to access the MLB. But overall, baseball's on the up and up, even though the Sox are probably not even going to make the playoffs this year. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. Maddie's out.